He who loves his dream of a Christian community more than the community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter. Let me say that again. He who loves his dream of a Christian community more than the community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter. So wrote Dietrich Bonhoeffer in a little book entitled Life Together. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was born in 1906. He was a Lutheran pastor, theologian, and one of the founders of the Confessing Church in Germany, a church that stood in opposition to the Nazi regime. He was also a very smart guy. He got his first doctoral degree at 21 years old. He was a committed pacifist for most of his life, yet eventually he was accused of plotting to assassinate Hitler, for which he was hung to death on April 9th, 1945, mere weeks before the collapse of the Nazi regime. Before that, in Germany in the 1930s, Bonhoeffer had run an underground seminary in the region called Finkenwald for the training of confessing church pastors. And Bonhoeffer wrote Life Together in 1938, just after his time at Finkenwald, after the Gestapo shut down his little underground seminary. That little book, it's a slim volume, contains his reflections on the quasi-monastic community of the Finkenwald Seminary, and thereby it is his reflections on what it means to be the church, the Christian community. She who loves her dream of a Christian community more than the community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter. In the book of Acts, we witness the beginning of the Christian community. So before we get to our passage from the book of Acts today, let me share a few words about the book of Acts as a whole. We often see this book, you see, as a story of the Christian community's glory days. But the truth is always more complicated than that. Sure, the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts opens with the believers sharing all things in common, distributing to all as they had need. It opens with that vision of Pentecost, which we'll celebrate in just a few weeks, with that resounding fire that was a part of that early church's charism, that signs and wonders that made up that community. But from day one, conflict was also a part of the story. One day they're sharing all things in common, the next they are arguing about who gets preferential treatment at the communion table. Disputes arise among the Jews from Jerusalem and those who speak Greek, amongst who ought to be in leadership and how they ought to serve, about how Jews and Gentiles are to relate to one another in the newly founded Christian community. Factions form among the faithful. Questions about what's sinful and what isn't come to the fore. Questions about who gets to determine the answer to, about whose authority is legitimate and whose isn't. Does this sound familiar to you? He who loves his dream of a Christian community more than the community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter. Sometimes we are tempted to believe in, to love an idealized notion of the Christian community before our time, the days before corruption and scandal, before papal conclaves and Robert's rules of order, before dogmatic bureaucracies and extravagant opulence. But the truth is that there are no glory days to return to. The Christian community has always been a complicated mess. And amid this mess, amid the ups and downs of life together, sometimes we catch a glimpse of what makes the community tick. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. We do not hear about Dorcas again in the New Testament. But the simple epitaph of a woman once raised from the dead tells us all we need to know. From the beginning, the church had conflict. And from the beginning, the church had helpers. People who stepped into the gap whenever there was a need for it. People who, by being faithful with the little they were given, left an indelible, unforgettable mark. In June of 1968, a woman named Margaret Keller gathered a small group of Christian women to address a growing need in the town of Cary, how to best serve their neighbors in need. Gathered across racial and denominational differences, that little group formed an organization called Christian Community in Action. Their original focus was to provide support to the community through education, focusing on adult literacy programs and preschool enrichment programs for low-income families. In the 70s, they opened a thrift shop to support their work, the first of its kind in Cary. They called it the Dorcas Thrift Shop, inspired by the woman bearing the name in our Acts passage from today. Today, Dorcas Ministries is host to all sorts of programs, including financial and food assistance, emergency housing assistance, job and career training, childcare scholarships, and case management, you name it. In 2016, I arrived in Cary as a newly ordained clergy person in the Episcopal Church. And that is when I met Howard Manning, the former executive director of Dorcas Ministries. He used to convene our Cary Area Ministerial Alliance, which used to meet once a month on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Not my favorite time, by the way. I'm not an early riser. We used to meet over at the IHOP on Kildare Farm Road. Howard was one of a kind. He rarely said no to a request for advice or assistance. The problem was that when he asked you for help, you couldn't say no to him. That was the kind of man he was. He drew people to him. He passed away in 2022. I consider him to be one of the most influential leaders I've had the pleasure to meet, whose easygoing demeanor and willingness to always collaborate made launching another nonprofit organization, One Wake, possible. I also considered Howard a colleague and friend, and I miss him. Now, let me ask you this. Did Margaret Keller know that this is what Christian Community in Action would accomplish back in 1968? Did Howard Manning know of the challenges and opportunities his stable presence and ongoing relationship building could accomplish even after his time was over? I doubt it. But I know they loved the Christian community in front of them as they found it, not their dream of it. They worked with what they had to build something that would last. Friends, where will you fit into this story? Will you love your idea of the Christian community more than the community itself? In the coming weeks, we will engage in some deep listening around here, around who we are and who we are becoming as we craft our path forward in the middle of this transition, and as we envision who we will call as rector of St. Paul's. I hope you will take part in that. This community is what it is because of you. If there's anything I've learned in church life, it is that the best idea isn't my own, as good as my ideas tend to be, but it is actually the one we agreed to do together. So let us love the community in front of us, not our idea of it. And let us see what God can do with a faithful few committed to good works and acts of charity. Amen.